You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome in. It is a Thursday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Great to have you aboard. Draft day. At least round number one coming up tonight. We've got full coverage for you from ESPN. An hour of pre-draft coverage coming up from 6 to 7 on all of our frequencies. And the first pick shortly after 7 o'clock coming up tonight from the fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada, home of the Las Vegas Raiders. And Brent Musburger on the call. He is their lead play-by-play voice as far as radio is concerned. So we've got that tonight. Looking forward to it. We're going to talk a lot of draft with you on the program. News out of Iowa City today as far as Iowa men's basketball. We will get to that coming up. Colbert will join us in the second half of the program. Talk UNI spring football. Might talk a little bit about the Panthers, the latest as far as A.J. Green is concerned, as far as basketball. And what it looks like next year for Ben Jacobson and the Panthers. So we got a lot coming up here on the program, as well as your next opportunity to win as far as the exhibit at the National Czech and Slovak Museum and Library, the Gridiron Champs, George Halison, the Chicago Bears exhibit. And that runs now through November the 6th. We got a pair of tickets for you to win to go see that exhibit coming up today on the Gym Class program right here on KGYM. Text line available, 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. And that is our phone line as well. If you'd like to interact with us on the program here today as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour on this Thursday, presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Check them out online at dupaco.com. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to dupaco.com. We'll have an Evil Sideaway scoreboard and includes a lot of baseball on this Thursday afternoon, which is kind of turned into a decent one here. Scott Unash, Mark Duke, been on the other side of the glass and didn't wake up. I woke up to hail this morning, Mark. Did you? Good afternoon. It woke me up today.
Good afternoon to you and everyone out there. And I rarely am awakened by weather or anything else.
Me too.
But that was not the case during the night. Yeah. But it has turned out to be a kind of a delightful day here in Eastern Iowa, and I hope you're enjoying it, and hope you're enjoying it over Drake.
Yep, getting started. The decathlon, the heptathlon has been going on, and then coming up at 4 o'clock, the high school portion of the Drake relays will get underway with the field events. Most of those will be taken care of today, and a lot of area folks, both on the boys' and girls' side, that we wish the best of luck to as they try for the medals and a flag at Drake. Those are the big things that you take home as far as the Drake relays are concerned when you're in high school. And
is everybody get a flag?
No,
just the place winners.
Well, I think if you win. I think it's just the winners.
Okay.
Yeah. A little different. A little different in this day and age as far as society is concerned. But I think it's just the winners that get the flags as far as Drake is concerned. If I'm wrong, let us know. 319-366-1600. Ralph says Ralph is listening today because his three tee times did not work today.
Must have been morning.
Morning and then late morning and early afternoon. You could have gone now, Ralph. Could have gone now, but yeah. Anyway, there'll be plenty of other days, right? There'll be plenty of other days, so tee it up at that time. Great to have you aboard, 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYN radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker as well. And Michael in Cedar Rapids, and I don't want to take anything away from your scoreboard, Mike, Michael, for Mark, and we'll have that for our listeners coming up, because there is Iowa women's basketball news today as well. Or did you have that on the scoreboard, Mark?
Well, I don't know.
You want me to say it?
Go ahead.
Okay. Iowa women picked up a point guard today, Molly Davis. They're going to have a couple years of eligibility remaining for the Hawkeyes. You can never have too many point guards.
I guess not.
No. You can never have too many point guards. And you know what? Maybe that moves Caitlin Clark to the two at times. Get her off the point and let her be even that more dangerous.
Why would you want to do that?
Yeah. Hey, run her off some picks and shoot some threes from the logo. I think it's a good idea. That's the women's side of things. Men's basketball news from Iowa City today. Josh Ogundele is back with the Iowa men's basketball team, as he has one of those rare occasions where you go into the portal and you come back to the team that you entered the portal with, if that makes any sense. He got into the portal about a month and a half ago, shortly after the season. And for whatever reason, he is back with Iowa. And could mean a bevy of things. We haven't had, I mean, we're not going to know for a few weeks what this means as far as, okay, does this mean that Iowa is out as far as other bigs are concerned, including the coveted one from Utah Valley State? I think it's a good move. Ogundele is a guy, hey, bigs take longer to come around than guards do, number one. Number two, he showed flashes last year that he could get the job done. Number three, he knows the offense. He knows the system. He knows the program. And as far as getting somebody out of the transfer portal who is a post, hey, you got a guy now that you know. With Josh Ogundele. And like I said, when we talked earlier today, Mark, I think it's a pretty good move for the Hawkeyes. Bring him back, see what he can do. Not going to have Kofi Coburn in there. E.J. Liddell is not going to be in there. Hunter Dickinson is going to be back, but league's not going to be quite as tall, although Purdue's going to have Edie back. But it's still, I think it's a good move.
I don't think it's a bad move or a bad situation for either one of them. I don't know whether this indicates that there was not sufficient interest in Ogundele in the portal or not. I have no idea.
Or maybe interest from lower mid-major schools.
Yeah. But the guy's 6'10", 6'11", and he did improve last year. Whether the proof is in the pudding, whether he can continue to progress, continue to get those rebounds, those occasional points. Will he get more minutes? 6'10", 6'11", is 6'10", 6'11".
Can't teach it.
And I think he's got a shot to help this ball club even more than he has in the past.
What do you think? 319-366-1600. Text line available to you. Hawkeye basketball fans out there, good move. What do you think? Now, if another big falls in your lap, then yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think Iowa has two scholarships left.
They do. They have two scholarships remaining now, as Ogundele will take one of the three that they had remaining. And, you know, you get a chance to get another one, then great. If not, you go into the season next year with Philip Rabracha. You go in with Josh Ogundele. And you've got Ryan Mulvey, of course, who is still a project. Certainly, as far as the Iowa basketball team is concerned. Remember, Ryan Mulvey would have been in high school last year.
Mm-hmm.
He reclassified and came in a year early. We'll see. I like it, myself. He's not a guy that's... You're probably going to start Rabracha. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but you can throw Ogundele in there, especially against a Hunter Dickinson type, an Edie type. People like that. He's going to be bigger than a lot of guys in the middle next year in the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
I see nothing wrong with it.
trying to project what this guy's going to look like next season, that's nearly impossible. Again, if he progresses, as he did last year, not by leaps and bounds, but what was it, the Purdue game? He had an extremely good game.
Both Purdue games he did well.
Both Purdue games, yeah. So, again, I don't think it's a bad thing. Is it a great thing? We'll see.
Yeah, we shall see on that. And, you know, you've got Connor McCaffrey coming back next year as well for this team. So it's a, I was in okay shape. They're fine. Going to see how Josh Dix comes off the injury. The newcomer out of Council Bluffs, Abe Lincoln, if he's going to be able to play next year. I like the point guard out of the East Coast. Everything you've seen and read about him, now that does that translate to college ball? We'll see. We will see about that. But I think prospects are okay as far as the Hawkeye men's basketball team are concerned next year. Like I said, I think you could have done a whole lot worse as far as getting a big for this Iowa basketball team. 319-366-1600.
And again, I don't think it means that Fran McCaffrey has stopped looking in the portal. We're a big guy.
Nobody's got his insurance policy now.
That's a good way to put it.
He's got his insurance policy. And if they can take 10 pounds off of Gundele, again, from last season to this season, a little bit more stamina, and get him, you know, up and down the court a little bit better, he's going to be that much better and that much more effective in there. 3148 says, great move. He showed signs in the Big Ten tourney against Indiana as well. And our friend 8186, get a hold of Frank Garza, the peacock whisperer. Oh, man. We'll see if that comes around. 319-366-1600. Your thoughts on Josh Ogundele coming back as far as Iowa basketball is concerned next year. We're going to talk to Cole Bear coming up in about 15 minutes. Got a lot of people talking about night one of the NFL draft, which comes up tonight. We'll have it at 6 o'clock for you on all of our frequencies. Jacksonville on the clock. You've got, as you heard at the top of the hour from ESPN, 8 teams with multiple picks in the first round. You've got 8 teams, including your Chicago Bears, Mark, that are not making a pick tonight. At least they are not in the order right now. This could all change. I think this is a tremendous, because for the first time in many years, we have no clue of what's going to happen tonight with the first pick. I mean, last year was Trevor Lawrence all the way. We knew that was going to be the number one pick. Knew that days going in. Knew that weeks going in, more than likely. Is it going to be Aiden Hutchinson, or is it going to be Trayvon Walker tonight that's going to get his name called by the Jacksonville Jaguars? So, and that, I think that's intriguing. You got a chance for a lot of trades tonight. I think we're going to see a lot of trades. I think this is going to be fun.
Well, it's not going to be so much fun for me as a Bears fan tonight, unless the Bears do trade up. And I don't know that, that Robert Quinn has been sought after by multiple clubs. I don't want the Bears to get rid of Robert Quinn, especially after the Bears have already lost Khalil Mack. Quinn's a good player.
I'm with you.
Stick with him on that. But I think it's going to be Hutchinson. I don't know for sure. I think that'd be the wise pick. He had a terrific career at Michigan. Was successful against darn near everybody. The kid from Georgia, a little less refined, but enormous talent. A lot of questions about running backs, wide receivers, Tyler Linderbaum, Breece Hall out of Iowa State. In fact, our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com has to do with the draft. Will more than 6 wide receivers be taken tonight in the first round, yes or no? Thanks to Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City, Highway 1 West. Steve Anderson and his crew setting up shop there.
7 wideouts. I'm going to go with 5 or 6. I'm going to go with 5 or 6 tonight. if Jacksonville was smart, Jacksonville would probably take Evan Neal, the tackle out of Alabama, to try to keep Trevor Lawrence upright. But that's not sexy, Mark, as we know. So it's going to be – and Trayvon Walker, you know, Georgia, he's a local guy. As far as Jacksonville is concerned, I think that may play a lot into it. I think Detroit at number two is really, really, really hoping they can get Aiden Hutchinson because a Michigan Wolverine has a number one pick in Detroit. But as things usually go for the Lions, it's probably going to crumble and fall apart. We'll have to wait and see on that. Yeah. I don't know.
Madden Fairfax has a question for you, Scott.
Yeah, Madden Fairfax, by a couple of before, you talked about Breece Hall, and 4426 asks, when will Breece Hall get drafted? I'm going to say late first or tomorrow night early. Early in the second. My inkling is tomorrow night early. And I hope I am wrong on him. I hope I am wrong on Tyler Linderbaum as well, but I'm thinking as well that Tyler Linderbaum's probably going to be an early second.
I think Linderbaum's going to go tonight. And
it's going to be late,
Hall
though?
Tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Late tonight for Linderbaum?
I think so.
Most of the mocks today have Tyler Linderbaum in the second round. And I don't think it's anything he's done to drop. The whole arm thing is much ballyhooed, and I think it's overcooked. Kind of like Tiger on the course today. By the way, every PGA person has played Southern Hills in the last 2 months. Anyway, that's my editorial comment on that. But we'll see. 5935 says Hall goes to Buffalo in the first round, calling it now. I don't know if they need a running back, though. I don't know if they need a running back.
Back to Matt in Fairfax. Scott, being a fellow Chiefs fan, would you trade 30 and 62 for Deebo Samuel? Add a weapon while this team is still intact, even if it's just for 1 year.
Yes.
Really?
Oh, God, yes. Deebo Samuel's maybe the best wide receiver in the National Football League. Then you try to convince him to sign a long-term contract. Get Mahomes to maybe rework things a little bit. Yeah. Juju Smith-Schuster, Travis Kelce, and Deebo Samuel. It's an arms race. As several writers put, it's the AFC West is an arms race right now. And you better get as many weapons as you can. You better get as many as you can. And I would do that. Chiefs have a plethora. Apparently, reading all the Chiefs information today, they have been calling people, and a lot of people have been calling them. That's why I think there's going to be a lot of trades tonight. And I almost go over the 50-50 mark. I am on the plus side. I say 65-35, the Chiefs are going to make a deal tonight and move up.
Cyclone Tim, I'm hoping because the Vikings declined Garrett Bradbury's fifth-year option, they will go after Linderbaum.
Yeah, 12 though, and is 12 early to sign to get a center?
I don't know if you're getting a guy that's going to play 10 and 12 years in the league and play at a high level as Kirk Ferentz predicted, and why wouldn't he? Not too many of them around.
No. 1960 says, not this year for the Detroit Lions. Things are going to work out. We got a new kneecap-biting coach who knows what he's doing and a great GM. So they're going for Aiden Hutchinson right there. 319-366-1600. A couple more thoughts about Josh Ogundele coming back. One good one. Is not happy about it. 12:30 on the not happy side of things. Second year in a row, a player from Iowa's entered the portal and came back because the coaching staff has whiffed on transfer targets. Thank you, Roger. But 71-76 says, as Zabel says, I love it, I love it, I love it. Yes, and I agree with Matt. Buffalo needs a corner before a running back.
Did Fran McCaffrey whiff on LaBracha?
I think he's been fine. He's just not a five. He's a four. And if Ogundele comes back, maybe LaBracha plays a little bit more four. We'll see. Been talking draft, been talking about Josh Ogundele coming back to the Hawkeyes here today. 319-366-1600. Razorback Dale says Burks from Arkansas will go to Minnesota. Calling it now. The Vikings need a wide receiver, though, first? I don't know.
Jefferson's awfully good.
Well, there are a lot of good wide receivers, but I'm not sure the Vikings, that's the number one need. I mean, it's, again, do you go with the need pick or the sexy pick? Or the best available on the draft board, as Mel Kiper would say. There are a lot of teams in the top 10 that are in desperate need of offensive linemen. Do we see a bunch of offensive linemen? How high, and we'll talk about this with Colbert, who covers UNI football here in just a little bit, will Penning go tonight? He's probably the number four guy at tackle, but, I mean, at least four of the teams in the top 10, their number one need is offensive line. Now, will they go offensive line? That remains to be seen because, as I said, it's not the cool pick to go offensive line or center and take a Tyler Linderbaum. You want a big, you know, 6'4" wide out that can run like a deer, or you want a quarterback, or you want somebody like that. That sells tickets.
It's all about needs, isn't it?
Should be. Matt in Cedar Rapids, the Vikings should take Garrett Wilson at number 12. And I think a lot's going to be predicated as far as trades are concerned tonight as well. As if wheeling and dealing starts, I could see the Vikings dropping down and maybe taking Linderbaum, maybe giving up that 12 pick, going down to about 20 or so like that. And then that'd be perfect timing to take Tyler Linderbaum. And then he's close to home.
We'll have a chance to break it all down tomorrow, right?
Oh, yeah. We'll have fun with that coming up tomorrow. Tell you the second round. I enjoy the second round. I mean, the first round is fun. Yeah. Takes too long. 10, 15 minutes per pick or whatever it is now. But tomorrow, there are a lot of good players in the second round and even into the third round. Ton of good players.
Mm-hmm.
Just ton of good players. 319-366-1600. Yes, let's hope the Vikings don't skip their pick this year. They will never live that down, will they?
Nope.
They will never live that down that the Vikings had to. Vikings forfeited that pick and passed a couple years ago. John says Linderbaum and Pickens, the wide receiver, would be perfect second-round picks for the Bears. Probably just dreaming, though. Oh, Mark. Tyler Linderbaum to your Chicago Bears. That would be good, wouldn't it?
Yes, please.
Yes, please. Kind of like me and Debo Samuel. Yes, please. Chiefs might end up with Debo Samuel after tonight. I'm just throwing that out there.
Don't blow on my phone, okay?
Okay. I won't. I will not. We're going to talk to Colbert coming up here in just a little bit about everything UNI football, maybe a little basketball as well. Need to get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update, though, right now. And it is brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from Lindale Mall, next to the Home Depot and behind Taco John's. You can find them at emilshideaway.com. They're open at 4 o'clock this afternoon. And what do we have in the scoreboard?
A lot of baseball, a lot of afternoon baseball. Six games already in the books. Philadelphia has defeated Colorado 7-1. The Padres win against Cincinnati 7-5. The Twins sweep the error-prone Detroit Tigers 7-1.
Twins play good ball.
They are 11-8 at this point. Milwaukee has defeated Pittsburgh 3-2. Miami on top of Washington 3-2. But Tampa Bay has defeated Seattle 2-1. Still in progress. The Yankees leading the Orioles 6-2 in the eighth inning. And the Astros leading the Rangers 3-1 in the ninth. The Royals leading the White Sox 2-1 top of eight, unless something's happening where I can't see on the TV.
Now two on, two out right now for Kansas City in the top of the eighth against Ruiz.
Iowa baseball tries to continue to make hay in the Big Ten race. Three-game series at Nebraska starting tonight, tomorrow night, I beg your pardon. And finally, former Cedar Rapids Prairie and Iowa wrestling star Lenny Zaleski is retiring at California Baptist University after 11 years as its wrestling coach. Terrific career for Lenny out there. He previously was at a high school in Alaska and was in the Big Ten with Indiana, but Lenny Zaleski retiring at Cal Baptist.
Yes, he is. And he's been in some form of coaching or wrestling for over 40 years. And that's a very, very decorated career.
Seems like I was just covering him and Jim and
all the Zaleskis
and Barry Davis a week or two ago.
At Prairie.
It wasn't.
But, yeah, hats off to Lenny Zaleski. We'll take a break, get to weather update, come back, and we'll talk to Cole Bear. Covers the UNI Panthers for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Plenty to talk about. We'll wrap up the spring, talk about tonight's NFL draft. Will UNI have their first ever number one draft choice tonight? Probably is going to happen. We'll talk about that with Cole after this.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and it is going to be cloudy, cool, and breezy for the remainder of the day today. There may be a few spotty showers around this afternoon. Otherwise, we'll be watching for another round of showers and storms late tonight into early Friday morning. A good chunk of Friday will be dry. Temperatures will be near 60 degrees. We'll then have another round of showers and storms Friday into Saturday, and additional rounds during the day on Saturday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
There's never been a better time to find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. Download the BetMGM app and place a $10 moneyline wager on any NBA playoff game. If either team hits a three-pointer in the game, you'll win $200 in free bets regardless of your wager's outcome. Just use code HANSON200, HANSON200, when you make your first bet. Sign up now and discover BetMGM's parlay selection builders, daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use code HANSON200 to win $200 if either team hits a three in any NBA playoff game. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager, Iowa only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800. Bets off.
Daughtry. Heavy in the crowd. The Dearly Beloved Tour. The multi-platinum, multi-award winner returns Saturday, July 23rd. McGrath Amphitheater. With special guest, Blackstone Cherry. Tickets on sale now at creventslive.com. Daughtry. Live.
Exceed your expectations of what makes great paint or stain with Pittsburgh Paints and Stains from Menards. Now all 11% off. With some of the most advanced technology like enhanced UV resistances, dirt shedding protection, and true one coat coverage paint and primer in one. Finding your perfect paint or stain is easy. Get 11% off everything, including Pittsburgh Paints and Stains. Now at Menards. Good through April 30th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Back on the gym class here on KGYM. As I knock my headphones into the microphone there. That's some good stuff right there. Like That's broadcasting 101. Please don't do that. And
nice sound effect.
Thank you. Going to talk to Cole Barrett coming up here in just a moment. NFL draft coming up, and we will talk about that tomorrow. Preview the second and third rounds as well, and maybe have a little bit of a discussion topic with you coming up tomorrow. We'll see how it all plays out. Headline today, of course, Josh Ogundele coming back to the Iowa men's basketball program as he was in the transfer portal and is coming back. And Rick on the text line, anyone that thinks it's bad that Josh is returning to Iowa basketball loses all credibility. He's just not even messing around with anybody out there. All right, at 3:35, we welcome in on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Cole Bear covers the UNI Panthers for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Give him a follow on Twitter and read his stuff at thegazette.com. And Cole, thanks for joining us. And will we see history made tonight? I think we will, as the champagne or whatever is ready to go. Trevor Penning, I think, is going to be the first Panther first-round draft choice in an NFL draft coming up tonight.
Yeah, guys, it sure does look like Trevor Penning will make history for the UNI football program, becoming its first-ever first-round pick. And, you know, I think a lot of people that know even a little bit about Trevor know that he's putting himself in this position with how well he's developed his body and his skills, and everything checks all the boxes in terms of being among those guys that are first-round picks. And I think on top of that, what helps is you watch the NFL these days, and we watch so closely, I think those of us that are fans, how our teams go about building their rosters, that beyond the quarterback position, it's the guys who are trying to put the quarterback on the ground and the guys who are trying to keep the quarterback off the ground that have seen the importance of their position rise over the past decade or so in the NFL draft. So along with the skills, the ability, what kind of person Trevor is, you add to it that if you can sack the quarterback or if you can keep the quarterback from getting sacked, that helps you as well in terms of getting picked higher in an NFL draft these days.
Cole, as you know, the Buffalo Bills got a relative bargain in the third round when they took Spencer Brown out of UNI. And in October, Brown found himself in the starting lineup at a tackle position. Now you've got Penning. Are those two comparable?
No, I think they're different players. Spencer is maybe a little bit more of a technician, where Trevor just plays with that nasty streak. And he's just got such profound punching power in his hands, and his ability to bend and you know, kind of play downhill, if it makes sense, in such a small area playing offensive line, but to play downhill and go after and bend and use the power in his hands and his hips to really drive through, whether it be someone playing against the run or against the pass, I think is what sticks out a lot about him. Spencer just was an incredible talent in terms of just really good at everything. And I think the biggest difference, what sticks out with Trevor, is just how high level the power is in his game. And as so many people have pointed out, that seems to relate itself to him being a quote-unquote nasty player that, you know, a lot of franchises really like a guy like that on the blind side of their offensive line.
What's this mean for UNI football? Brown last year, now a more than likely a number one draft choice. You know, if you're the Panthers, you're Mark Farley, you're anyone associated with the program, I mean, you trot this out in front of recruits, everybody out there, because this can only help this program.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they cannot make enough content, whether it be on social media or anywhere else, as it relates to what's about to happen tonight. And they can't put that picture or those pictures out there enough about what Spencer Brown and Trevor Penning looked like when they first got to campus as true freshmen and what they looked like when they left. as fourth or fifth year seniors. And, you know, really you can't have this part of the conversation without mentioning Jed Smith and the strength and conditioning program up here at UNI. And what it'll come down to going forward, guys, is the under-recruited player and the player that knows that they can be something. They have an incredible drive, an incredible work ethic. You know, they're going to have to choose between the Western Illinois and the UNIs and the South Dakotas of the world. And what's going to make the difference is, okay, what's these programs' track records of actually being able to develop guys into NFL caliber players? And have they taken guys that when they got on campus, nobody even knew if they were even going to start a game at UNI and turn that player into an NFL caliber player? And all that's true at UNI. It's really quite something. Some of what we've seen out of that strength and conditioning program, even going back to Spencer Brown, and can't forget about Ellerson Smith last year too, the defensive end.
Cole, any other Panthers who have a chance of being selected before the end of this thing on Saturday?
Yeah, wide receiver Isaiah Weston, his name keeps coming up. And for myself, I thought that Isaiah's injury history, despite the fact that his numbers are pretty insane when he was actually out there on the field, his ability to run after the catch, his ability to take the top off a defense with real long stride speed, all very impressive, you know, high-level skills. But I just worried that, you know, his injury history would scare teams away and that he would be a priority undrafted free agent. But I've heard at least three separate times ESPN draft analyst Mel Kiper mention Isaiah Weston's name as a third or fourth round pick. And that's a guy who obviously is among a small group who's plugged in with front offices and team personnel, and he's not saying it if he's not hearing it. So I think late third round through the seventh round, anywhere in there, but I'm rather convinced at this point that Isaiah Weston is also going to hear his name called. And if he is physically right, someone could get an absolute steal. Like I mentioned before, his speed and what he can do, and then if he stays healthy to be able to continue to work on his skills, it could be a really good value pick for a team later in the draft.
Colbert joining us here, covers the UNI Panthers for the Cedar Rapids Gazette on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class program here at KGYM. Let's talk about this fall's edition of the UNI Panthers for Mark Farley. Spring practice now in the rearview mirror. A lot of new faces as far as the coaching staff is concerned. What were some of the headlines coming out of spring football this year for the Panthers?
Well, I spoke with Coach Farley last Friday, and for as long as I've been hearing him talk and asking him questions, I was pretty fascinated with what he had to say, putting it out there that this spring he saw as much improvement with his team that he's seen since the first year that he came to UNI, you know, over 20 years ago. And he was obviously really excited about that. And one of the biggest reasons for his excitement was the progress that the offense has made. And Coach Farley, obviously known as a defensive coach and what he's been able to do to build one of FCS football's best defensive programs in the country, he's really lived up to his word. You go back, guys, to this last season where you and I had to go out and play Eastern Washington in the first round of the FCS playoffs. The Eagles are an offensive juggernaut. They've been known to be that for over a decade now in FCS football. Mark Farley said leading up to that game, we need to look at them and see some of their concepts and see how we can, you know, bring that over here and use it to our advantage as we like to play offense at UNI. And then he goes out in the offseason and hires an offensive coordinator who was once an offensive coordinator at Eastern Washington in Bodie Reeder. And then he says, we've completely rebuilt the offense from the ground up. It is a totally new offense. It's the first time we've done this started with a clean slate since I've been here. And you saw it at the spring game. It looks different. The ball's getting out quick out of the quarterback's hands, whether it's Theo Day or Matt Morrissey. And, you know, if you just watch U and I football, maybe you can't quite put your finger on it because you're not in the coach's meeting room and seeing it drawn up on the whiteboard, but it looked and it felt different watching it all. So the proof will be in the pudding come the fall, but I thought that was really compelling stuff from Coach Farley in the conversation I had with him last Friday.
Cole, what has Drew Tate added to the staff?
I think what Drew adds is just a guy who's trying to soak up as much information while at the same time using everything he has learned from a long career in the CFL, a high-level college football career, and, you know, being a handful of different spots already, Coastal Carolina as a defensive analyst, UT Martin as a quarterback's coach. He's just pooling all of that knowledge together and trying to get it out to as many different segments of the offense as he can, and then more so than anything, he's focusing on the tight ends. So he's really being a sponge. I talked with Drew, had a story on that at thegazette.com. Talked with Drew, and he said Brandon Keith has really been helping him, guy who played in the NFL, former UNI offensive lineman. He's the offensive line coach. Brandon Keith has helped him a lot, and then Joe Gans, the wide receivers coach, has helped him a lot in being able to learn what he needs to do to catch up, to be a good tight ends coach. And I thought it was really fascinating, too, in my conversation with Drew, that, you know, he really wants to be the best coach that he can. He wants to become an offensive coordinator. He'd like to become a head coach someday, and he's more than willing to do anything, whether, like I mentioned, be a defensive analyst, coach quarterbacks, coach tight ends. He wants to learn all of it, and Coach Farley told me as much as well.
This is Theo Day's team now. How about Theo coming out of spring, going into the fall this year?
Yeah, between Coach Farley and the new offensive coordinator, Bodie Reeder, they've both said that they've liked what they've seen from Theo Day, that they're hoping that he continues to become more vocal. He's not necessarily the most vocal guy in the room, so they're trying to coach some of that into him. But they like his ability to operate in the offense that they've built. And, you know, you look back last season, he was really thrown into the fire, transferred in the middle of the summer, and never really was able to establish a rapport with his receivers. He's just kind of in there playing backyard ball, if you will. And now he's got this full off season, first time in 3 years. The Panthers have had a normal spring practice, and for a developmental program like UNI's is, I mean, it can't be overstated how important a normal spring was for the Panthers. And, you know, that all starts right there at the quarterback position, and especially so when, like I mentioned before, you've got a brand new offense. So, you know, seeing how high some of the highs were for Theo Day and how much ability he flashed last year, his ability to have normal preparation for a season, I think that should be compelling for Panther fans, should have them optimistic about what he'll be able to do at that position this season.
Kind of an interesting schedule in 2022 for the Panthers. No North Dakota State. Now everybody's tough, or nearly everybody's tough in the league, but I find that interesting. Luck of the draw, I guess, and starting the season off at Air Force, has you and I ever played Air Force?
If memory serves, they have not played Air Force, but you guys know how this goes, and hopefully it continues to be a thing. Otherwise, it could have serious implications that these FCS schools need that FBS bye game. You and I needs that money in the well into the six-digit range that Air Force is paying them to come out to Colorado and play a football game against them. And so that's why you find yourself in this scenario if you're UNI and you don't have Iowa State on the schedule every year. And then Iowa's made it clear that scheduling UNI, that's going to be few and far between with kind of how some things have sussed out with Big Ten leadership and all that going forward. So that's that explains Air Force being on the schedule, and it is. It's an odd schedule. You know, you've got Missouri Valley Conference expansion, which means that you have teams that fall off the schedule for a few years, and North Dakota State just happens to be that team for the Panthers this year, and I'm sure there's folks, you know, North Dakota State probably thinks that that should be a protected rivalry, but they've already got their protected rival in South Dakota State with the trophy game for the marker. Most unique to me with this schedule, guys, is that from the beginning till almost the end of October, they're going to play five games in the month of October, and four of them in a row are all going to be at the Unidome, including a non-conference game against Dixie State, who will be playing its first season up at the FCS level. So if you get out of October winning all those home games, the Panthers may not have their backs against the wall like they have so many times in recent seasons.
How about the defense going into the fall? Good news, anytime you get Bryce Flatter back and healthy and hopefully ready to go. But Mark Farley will, in 20 years, he will not change his stripes. He is a defensive guy. And what's the Panther defense look like?
Yeah, they're trying to replace Jared Brinkman, who was just an outstanding All-American defensive tackle that teams, they could plan for him, but most always he'd wreck their best laid plans anyway. So Mark Farley made no bones about it when I talked to him last Friday that they need the rest of the summer with weight room and skill development to find who's going to, you know, be able to make a difference for them in the interior of the defensive line. Thankfully, though, they've got two really good defensive ends in Caden Hotelling and Devin Rice coming back. They've got experience coming back at linebacker with Bryce Flater and Spencer Cuvalier, back in the secondary with Benny Sapp and Corby Sander. They've got some guys who have had some snaps but not been starters playing corner in DeMarcus Governor and Stephon Black. So they've got experience coming back. There's just a couple spots, really. You know, who's going to play that nickel cornerback spot, which is such a demanding spot anymore in the game, as most everybody plays five defensive backs all the time. And then what are they going to be able to get out of whomever it is that plays in the interior of the defensive line? But, I mean, like you're kind of alluding to, Mark Farley's reputation precedes himself. I mean, it'd just be a shock if that defense takes much of a step back, if at all, this season.
Basketball question or questions for you, Cole. I wouldn't say his team has been decimated, but Ben Jacobson's crew is, you know, the roster is much shortened since the end of the regular season. A.J. Green, the big name, he's got a lot of suitors, including Duke and others. The fact that his dad is an assistant at Iowa State, the fact that Eric Crawford was hired by Iowa State off the UNI staff, are there dots to be connected there? What do you think about A.J. Green's future?
Well, I actually talked with A.J. on Monday, on Tuesday. And the one thing that A.J. made very clear was that it's all about the feedback that he gets with his pre-draft NBA workouts. Everything will be decided upon as a result of that. And those haven't started yet. So for all the smoke that's out there about Iowa State, the obvious connection with his dad being there, now Eric Crawford being there, here's the thing: if you're Iowa State or if you're Duke, if you're in the transfer portal and you're looking for someone, most of these teams, they don't want the commitment later. They want it now. The sooner the better. They can go about building out their roster. And A.J. Green, he's probably not going to be on a timeline that Iowa State or Duke or anyone else for that matter that's shopping in the portal is going to be crazy about. And that's why I think it's not out of the question that if the NBA feedback is we want to see one more year from you playing college basketball, that he goes back to UNI, because there might not be any other chairs left at that point when it comes to transferring into a power conference for a highly visible program, which I think if I were AJ, that would be best case scenario if you were coming back to play college basketball. If you could go play at a just incredibly high visible program like a Duke or a Villanova or a Gonzaga, and then maybe if those chairs are gone, perhaps the chair will still be there at Iowa State. Who knows? But I think that's what's most important when it comes down to all this, guys, is that his timeline, he's not engineering it toward what a college coach is going to like who's trying to build out his roster and do so with the transfer portal. Everything's about this NBA feedback, and it has yet to even start.
Hey, good stuff, Cole. Always appreciate talking with you. Keep up the great work, and we'll continue to read your stuff at thegazette.com and give you a follow on Twitter. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right. Cole Bear covers the UNI Panthers, joining us here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class. Need to take a break. We'll come back, wrap things up. As we go to break, I'm going to give you an opportunity to pick up a pair of tickets to the exhibit at the National Czech and Slovak Museum and Library. Gridiron champs, George Halas and the Chicago Bears. Terrific exhibit there. It is through now through November the 6th, and we have a pair of tickets all this week. 319-366-1600. Caller number 6, you're going to pick up a pair of tickets to see that exhibit. 319-366-1600. Back after this.
Texting while driving is a very dangerous form of distracted driving. Drivers who use handheld devices while driving are 4 times as likely to get into crashes that can injure themselves or others. Drivers of all ages simply don't realize the dangers that are posed when they take their eyes and minds off the road. Everyone needs to do their part. Help save lives. Don't text and drive. This message is brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Shine down in 3, 2, 1.
Cut the cord!
The hottest rock band in the universe. Shine Down, Planet Zero World Tour. September 6th, Alliant Energy Powerhouse.
It's about to get...
With special guests, Jelly Roll and John Harvey. Shine Down. On sale Friday at 11 a.m. at creventslive.com. Planet Zero, out July 1st.
Back to wrap things up on the Gym Class on KGYM. We've got our winner and the pair of tickets to see the Chicago Bears George Halas exhibit at the National Czech and Slovak Museum and Library. We'll have one more pair coming your way tomorrow for you right here on the Gym Class on KGYM. All right, tonight it is the first round. By the way, Mark from Durant, our winner. First round of the NFL draft coming up tonight. You said Aiden Hutchinson. You're sticking with that.
I am.
Okay, I'm going to go with Walker.
Okay.
I'm going with Walker, and I think Hutchinson goes second to the Detroit Lions. Penning, I think he's going to go. I think he's going to go to Houston at the 13th pick. They need a lineman, and I think the three ahead of Penning are going to be gone by the time Houston rolls around, unless they trade up, throw everything into an uproar there. I am going to say my Chiefs are trading tonight too.
All right, I've got it written down.
I got a lot of things out there tonight. Benny Sapp, yes, that is the same Benny Sapp, 31-48. Not a 12th-year senior. But thank you for that on the text line. Todd and Alex coming your way next. More draft coverage. We've got it tonight for you at 6 o'clock. It is a fun evening. We'll talk about it coming up tomorrow and look ahead to the second and third rounds. And have more on the program. Looking forward to it. And should be a very fun night in Las Vegas. When is it not a fun night in Las Vegas, Mark? First of all, great place to have the draft.
And throwing in the draft, yeah.
Not too bad. Not too bad. Enjoy it, all right?
We'll do.
Maybe
talk tomorrow.
Maybe the Bears will pick tonight. You never know.
You'll get a text.
Don't go to sleep. All right. Todd and Alex coming your way next right here on KGYM. Have a great night, everybody.